And you're listening to What's Bruin, a show about anything and everything Bruin sports. I am your host, Mike Regalado, and I am flying solo today because it's spring break and all of our schedules are a little off, but here we are, still doing a show, and we're most likely going to meet next week for a full show. Well, full, depending on who's available. most likely me, Jake, and I, but we'll see. This is the What's Bruin Show, part of the What's Bruin Show Network, where we have multiple shows at any given time, or not. But, yeah, that's what we are doing here on this side of our little pod universe. But today, yes, I wanted to put out a quick little show because there's some really good stuff happening in the world of women's basketball, especially including your UCLA women's basketball team. But first off, some information. Yes, we are the What's Bruin Show. You can find us on Podomatic, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you can find podcasts. That's where we are. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter, because that other name is dumb. We are at What's Bruin Show. And yes, we are on the Patreon too for just $2. So check that out. Help us into the future. And yeah, let's get on with it. Don't really have any pre-show banter because there's no one here to banter with. But yeah, I have a really cool What's Bruin, which I'll get into later. But before anything, I have one headline to talk about. UCLA football's spring schedule has come out, and we talked about that last week. But more details about the spring showcase, which is going to be interesting. That will take place on Saturday, April 27th. And that will be the 12th session out of 14, and will start at 2 p.m. I believe gates to the Rose Bowl will open up at 10 a.m. with different festivities going on. One of the interesting things that they are doing at this spring showcase is they are having a pairing with the UCLA men's soccer team against Liga Premier U23 select team at the Rose Bowl. So that, I believe, kicks off at 11 a.m. with the spring showcase afterwards. So that's pretty freaking badass. Excuse me. Also, if you have if you can check it out, because all of the majority of the spring practices that are taking place at Spalding Field will be at 8:30 in the morning. But on Friday, April 19th at 6 p.m., UCLA is having their Friday Night Lights session, which should be really freaking cool, because you get more fans out there, you get families out there. Obviously, it's not 8:30 in the morning where, you know, the normal person has to work. But if you want to go see some UCLA football practice, especially the week before, excuse me, yeah, just a week before the spring showcase, that's a good way to check it out. There's also a special viewing experience for Wooden Athletic Fund members at Coaches Roundtable and Bruin All-American levels. So, yeah. But, yeah, the practices are all open to the public. I believe you can watch from Lot 8. So, yeah, this is quite a different experience for UCLA fans to watch their team, unlike the other guy who just tried to hide everything. I mean, what are you going to hide during spring, dude? Seriously, very bizarre. Anyway, let's get into it. What I wanted to talk about, what the show is mostly about, what we're focusing on, because it's the biggest draw right now for UCLA sports, the biggest active draw, is that the UCLA women's basketball team is in the Sweet 16, and this team is well, what can you say? They are killing it right now. They almost got killed in the last game, their round of 13 game, but they were able to stick it out and get the much needed win over Creighton. But yeah, just really quickly, just to recap where these Bruins are and how they've come so far. The Bruins, number 2 seed in the Albany 2 region, They are currently, after the first weekend, 27-6 on the year. They tied for second place in the Pac-12 regular season, lost in the tourney, and as I said before, that is probably what secured them a number two spot rather than a number one spot. Even Stanford, who lost to USC in the championship game, was bumped down to a number two seed, while USC has a number one seed. Now, impressively, the Pac-12 has five teams in the Sweet 16. They almost had six. Utah, unfortunately, lost to Gonzaga, but that's how it is. And just really quickly going through these brackets, Oregon State was number three in the Albany 1 region. And if my freaking iPad works, here we go. Stanford, as I said, is number two in the Portland 4 region, while USC is number one in the Portland 3 region. That leaves the Albany 2 region, where there are two Pac-12 teams who could potentially meet in the Elite Eight. But number two UCLA takes on number three LSU. And at the top of the bracket, number five Colorado takes on number one Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Personally, I think this is the most exciting region, this Albany 2 region. And I think the media does too, but not the same way that I do. I personally think that UCLA can take down LSU and Iowa. Now, that is if they have a complete game, which we will get into. But UCLA has to play a full game. Again, we'll get into that. Yes, obviously you have LSU and Kim Mulkey, who is having some trouble right now. There's apparently, which has not come out as of Thursday morning, there's a article in the Washington Post, which is probably not going to see Mulkey in a good light. But they are the defending champs. They've unfortunately had some losses, especially in the SEC tournament when they lost to South Carolina. And yeah, had a whole scuffle. It was a whole thing. It was interesting TV. It was interesting to see that that rivalry kind of played up like that. And still, LSU fell to South Carolina, who's number one overall, and with reason. They have not lost a single game this year. Dawn Staley, absolute baller, doing an amazing job coaching South Carolina down there. The one true USC? Question mark. But yeah, so there's a bit of controversy surrounding LSU right now. Then you have Iowa, who has the darling of sports right now, not just of women's sports, but pretty much sports altogether. Caitlin Clark, who is just breaking records, broke the career scoring title, and also broke the single season scoring record. So there's a lot going on in this bracket. But let's start with UCLA and LSU. The Bruins had a really rough start against Creighton in the round of 32. Creighton, who had five players at 6'1", were just going at UCLA and hitting mid-range shots, three-point shots. They had a double-digit lead. They led at halftime over the Bruins. And it was interesting because in the first round game, the Bruins did not have Lauren Betts, who was apparently nursing a foot injury, an ankle injury, which we broke on the What's Bruin show last week. But it seems that, you know, she did better. But during that game, everyone else stepped up and just blew away Cal Baptist, who was a high-scoring team. In this game, with Lauren Betts being back, she was the only one scoring in the first half. And that was a bit troublesome because UCLA was not able to hit many shots in that first half. And it was troubling because they have played that way before, not many times this season. But if they were going to play that way in the second half, there's no way that UCLA was going to beat Cal Baptist. Luckily, Kiki Rice stepped up in the third quarter, had 13 points, led UCLA's charge, and the Bruins eventually won 67-63. Whew. like that was definitely a wake-up call. And I don't think that UCLA will have that again, especially with what's on the line against LSU this year. This weekend is going to be very interesting because LSU is definitely beatable. Every team is beatable. But at the same time, every team has a chance to get to the Final Four. I believe every team that is in the Sweet 16 has a chance to get to the Final Four. There are very few weak teams in here. Even Colorado going against Iowa. Colorado has a very good defense and should really limit Iowa. But are you going to be able to limit Caitlin Clark? Nobody has been able to this season. So that's going to be a tough go for Colorado. Still, back to UCLA. They need to play an entire 40 minutes the way they played the second half against Creighton. The Bruins finally came alive, and it took them a little while, which it should not. You cannot have a slow start against LSU. I believe they went on a 51-13 run in the second half of their round of 32 game against Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State kept it close. I believe they had a 3-point lead at one point. And then LSU with Angel Reese just destroyed them. It was quite brutal. Reese is currently, she leads the Tigers with 18.7 points and 13.2 rebounds. You also have Anisha Morrow, who has 16.5 points, 10 rebounds a game, leads a team with 42 blocks. They currently have six players, starter and a bench player, averaging 10 points a game. That's pretty insane. UCLA has a good defense, and we saw it in the second half of that Creighton game. Charisma Osborne and Gabriela Jaquez just have to lock down those guards. They have to figure out a way to get in their face, disrupt them. And who knows? You know, LSU might be, you know, going through some inner turmoil, which might help UCLA. But on the court, I'm pretty sure that LSU is not going to be worrying about what a reporter said about them. They're going to be worried about getting the ball in the basket and getting to the Elite Eight. That should be UCLA's worry, too. They have to limit Reese and Morrow. They have to get, as I've been saying, one of their biggest strengths is that inside-out game. Lauren Betts can obviously score, and she's going to get double-teamed the way she was against Creighton, which means that UCLA has to hit their mid-range, and especially their long-distance shots. London Jones wasn't very successful from the outside, and neither was Angela Dugalich, but she actually did hit some key three-pointers at some key moments in that game against the Blue Jays. That has to start from the beginning. You just have to, you know, punch them in the mouth and just, you know, keep going. That's what UCLA needs to do. That's what they've been doing for most of the season. Sans, you know, games without some key players who were out due to injury or other responsibilities. But UCLA has to start shooting. They just have to start off hot. They have to get the ball into Betts. the bench has to step up big. London Jones, as I said, she needs to hit her three-pointers. Gabriela Jaquez has to come in and be a beast and help out on the defensive end. Christine Iwala has to be solid in the paint when Betts is on the bench. Betts is definitely going to need some, you know, several breathers. She's going to need to be healthy. She's going to need to stay out of foul trouble. So Iwala has to come in and just, you know, hold that position. And she can score. She can grab some rebounds. So if she can do that consistently and basically be Lauren Betts when Betts is on the bench, even better. But the Bruins have to find a way to shut down LSU. And that's going to be tough because they can freaking score. But who knows what LSU is going through right now. obviously Kim Mulkey, who's an interesting person, kind of mean. There have been stories about her, you know, like a decade ago when she coached Brittany Griner. There was a story that she didn't want Griner to come out, you know, make her sexuality public because that's just who Mulkey is. And yeah, when asked about Griner's situation in Russia, when asked if she would like to comment, she said no. How do you not comment or give thanks that you're a former player is back safe in their own home after going through what Griner did? Certain things like that do not cast Mulkey in a good light, and that's on her. But she is also, she's addressed some of those issues, and you know, whether it is on her mind or not, she's definitely going to have this LSU team ready, and you know, so will Corey Close. Close and her staff, the team raves about how great they are at game planning. And they're going to have to just really scout the hell out of the Tigers. Because, and I'm not saying that there's going to be some media push or media bias or some media, like, you know, wanting a certain team to win over another. UCLA is just, they're going to have to win definitively. They're going to have to make their shots. They are going to have to show that they are not going to get in foul trouble because maybe the refs want a certain outcome. You know, I'm not going to say that, but it does seem like everybody wants that championship rematch from last year in the Elite Eight with LSU and Iowa. Yeah, that, no. If UCLA wants to get to the Elite Eight, they have to play at the top of the game for 40 minutes. And even if they fall behind, they cannot fall behind too much. You know, falling behind by double digits to Creighton is a different beast altogether than falling behind to LSU in the Sweet 16 when all eyes are on you. One person that definitely has to step up because, you know, it was unfortunate. It was her final game at Pauley Pavilion, but Charisma Osborne was just, she didn't have her best game against Creighton. For her to be the leader to step up and just really push this team forward is going to be necessary. It's going to be necessary for every single Bruin to step up and make sure that UCLA gets this win because they earned this win. You don't want the refs deciding this game. You know, you also don't want LSU deciding this game. You know, if they're going to go on a run and eventually capture the win, then that's on UCLA. The Bruins absolutely have to be solid on offense and defense the way they have been at the peak of play, which has been for most of the season. They have to do it for 40 minutes. LSU is not going to give them a chance. And when you have players that can score and just have that confidence and attitude, especially because they are the reigning champs, you have to knock that, you know, out of their hand. You have to make them chase you. UCLA has to set the tone. And they've been able to do that. The UCLA has, let's just go back to the Sweet 16 real quick. UCLA has taken out Colorado twice. They've taken out USC once. They took down UConn. They only played Stanford and lost big, but that was because they were without Lauren Betts. And who else? Oregon State, they beat. And South Carolina, they've mixed it up, but South Carolina is just way too damn good. I have South Carolina winning it all. Either way, UCLA has beaten a good number of the teams in the Sweet 16. And there's no reason why they shouldn't go out and beat LSU. This team is the most talented that Corey Close has put together. And losing in the Sweet 16 is just going to have a very bitter taste in every UCLA women's basketball fan's mouth for the entire offseason. In her 13-year tenure, Close has only gotten to the Elite Eight. So if you have your most talented team losing the Sweet 16, that's just not good. That's not going to cut it. UCLA, as I've said before, needed one of three things to show that this year was a success. Either win the regular season championship, Pac-12 championship, win the Pac-12 tournament championship, which those two did not happen, or go to the Final Four. That, I believe, will solidify this team as one of the current elite women's basketball teams. And I think they are, as it is, but obviously you need proof. You need hardware. You need something significant to show the women's college basketball world that, oh, hey, this team is for real. The media, the national media, wants Iowa and LSU in that Elite Eight game. Why not UCLA? Why have people not been watching UCLA? I blame Pac-12 Network for most of that, but still. UCLA definitely has to go out and prove with a win that they are an elite team. Now, let's say they do beat LSU. Well, they face either Colorado or Iowa. And some people have Colorado beating Iowa. Colorado is a good defensive team, but so is UCLA. So let's go to the first scenario. If UCLA and Colorado meet in the Elite Eight, I definitely have UCLA. They've beaten Colorado twice. It's been tough, and Colorado's going to look for some payback, but UCLA knows this team, and they know how to take them down. The last meeting was at Pauley Pavilion, and that was a slugfest. Colorado took a lead, but UCLA just managed to get the win in the second half. It's going to be a brutal game. Now, if UCLA faces off against Iowa, that is going to be interesting because, like, even more eyes are going to be on the Bruins. Can they take down Iowa and Caitlin Clark? They're not unstoppable. They've lost, I believe, 5 games this season. Iowa is not just Caitlin Clark. And that's the thing. If they shut down Caitlin Clark and have the rest of the team try to win it all, or even vice versa, because you nobody's going to shut down Caitlin Clark. If they shut down the rest of the team and have Clark try to do it all herself, that's just going to be tough. That's going to be really tough for one person to get through an entire team on their own. And that's just, it's going to be tough. Either way, these two teams, are three teams, will be a battle for UCLA. And if they wanted to get into the Elite Eight, then they're going to have to focus and stay. You know, they're going to have to be 100% for 40 minutes in each of the next two games. And hopefully, next week, talking with Jake, we can talk about the even tougher feat of trying to win a national championship, which the UCLA women's basketball team has not won a national championship in the NCAA. They won one in the AIAW years ago in the 70s. So getting a national championship will be obviously just sweet. You know, one of the three major sports getting a national championship. The last time football, men's basketball, or women's basketball, any of them won a championship was in 1995. Last time UCLA had a Final Four, Mick Cronin took them, few years ago? Was that 2020? So this is big if UCLA women's basketball can get to the Final Four and prove and show the world that we're not just talking about the Caitlin Clarks and the Angel Reeses. We're talking about the Kiki Rices and the Charisma Osborne, even though this is their final season, and the Lauren Betts. Because Betts and Rice still have 2 more years of eligibility. This will be huge for them going into next season, and especially with UCLA bringing on a star-studded recruiting class, UCLA absolutely could solidify themselves as one of the best women's basketball teams assembled, you know, in the modern era, because it's just getting better. And with the attention that women's basketball is receiving, even teams like USC with Juju Watkins, who's a freshman this year, USC is definitely going to have some eyes on them next season. You know, Stanford is losing some, you know, players like Cameron Brink. Caitlin Clark is moving on from Iowa after this. It's just a great time in women's college basketball, and to be at the forefront of that would be huge for the UCLA women's basketball team. So I am personally, I think UCLA will beat LSU. I think it'll be close. Corey, close. I don't think UCLA is going to blow them out, although I think they have the ability to. They've shown that they can blow out top-ranked teams. But I'm going to say that this is a close one. I'm going to go 75-72 UCLA. And I think Iowa will beat Colorado. And I think UCLA's defense will stop them, limit Clark as much as possible, and UCLA will beat Iowa. I'll go 78-77 in that game. A little closer, but yeah, so that's a quick preview of the UCLA women's basketball team going into the Sweet 16, hopefully the Elite Eight, and hopefully the Final Four. So that's what I've got today for women's basketball. Just really quickly, with the men's, it seems as though, you know, nobody has transferred out yet. There's word that maybe a few guys have. You know, the season ended 2 weeks ago, and still nobody has transferred out. But, you know, nobody's you know, gone into the portal. And even Adem Bona has not made a decision if he's returning or if he's going to test the waters. He's most likely going to test the waters, but if he returns, you know, that's, you know, we'll see. You know, if he has some NIL to explore, that would be that'd be good for UCLA for continuity. And honestly, for me, I think if UCLA keeps, they should try to keep at least 80% of this roster. Because even guys that didn't do well were developing. And I think that could be a really good thing for UCLA. But, you know, one thing that came out on Thursday morning is that a crystal ball, which is basically kind of like a potential verbal commitment, UCLA might be getting guard Sky Clark, who is a transfer out of Louisville. So so that's a possibility. And as it is for people making the assumption that Mick Cronin will go somewhere else, Louisville or Michigan, yeah, a $20 million buyout is not going to help that, as well as he doesn't want to go anywhere else. But that's, you know, that's up to him too. If he has another season next year like he did this year, that could be troublesome, and that's not even going to, that has nothing to do with what his decision is. It has to do with where UCLA wants to go. Hot seat? Yeah. I mean, if they go under, if they're sub 500 next year, that's not going to be good for Mick Cronin. But I don't think that will happen. I think he can develop this team and make them into, you know, quite a contender in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is not a great conference. But you got to at least get back to the NCAA tournament. That would be a big thing. So anyway, that's all I got here. As I said, next week, it'll probably be Jake and I getting on the ones and two microphones to talk about, hopefully, fingers crossed, UCLA women's basketball in the Final Four. But until then, yeah, y'all have a good time. Oh, quickly, what's brewing? Yeah, I went to Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. this past weekend. It was quite amazing. Went to D.C. and saw the cherry blossoms. Just gorgeous. I hadn't been to D.C. in like 25 years. So it was really good to kind of get my bearings and see where what the city layout was like. It was just a really fun weekend. I'm on spring break, but yeah, it's almost over and I'm sad. But anyway, go Bruins.